Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Wednesday Conversation. I'm Bethany Gilbert, and I'm here with Pastor Bob Thune and Pastor Dusty White of Coram Deo Church and Pastor Chris Hemmelman of First City Church in Bellevue, Nebraska. Every Wednesday, we sit down to talk about how the gospel of Jesus Christ connects to the questions and issues of everyday life. And today, we're talking about discipleship and the medical model.
And we are joined by our friend, Coram Deo Deacon Lindsay Kaiser. Hi, Lindsay.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Thanks
I'm excited
for joining
to be
us.
Here.
Lindsay is the Deacon of Women's Discipleship at Coram Deo, and she's been in that role for about 6 months. And since we're talking about discipleship, it reminded me that Lindsay and I have been having a lot of conversations in the last 6 months about just what is discipleship and how do we envision discipleship? What are our longings for Coram Deo Church when we think about everyone being a disciple of Jesus and making disciples? And one of the helpful things that Lindsay has helped me think about is the helpful overlap between thinking about discipleship and spiritual growth and medicine and the practice of medicine. This is not a new overlap. You know, the old sort of church fathers talked about the pastor as a doctor of the soul, you know, and so this goes back a long time in theological history. But Lindsay, your background is as a physician's assistant, so this is your world.
Correct, it is.
And would you introduce our listeners to the medical model as you taught it to me?
Sure. Well, I'll geek out on you for just a
Love
second
it. This
here.
Is all, this podcast is all about Perfect. Geeking out.
That's what we do. I did a little research, and actually the see one, do one, teach one model has been around since 1890. So Dr. William Halsted, he was leading a surgical residency, developed this model of this method of learning back then, and it's basically continued ever since in the medical realm. So watch one, then do one, and then they would have their residents teach it.
So how did this work out for you as you were like gaining your medical training? Was this like, I mean, is this like every medical person listening to this podcast is like, oh yeah, watch one, do one, teach one? Is it that common?
Yeah, it's pretty common.
Yeah.
So I'd say overarching, like even in our schooling, we have a didactic part. So that's a year of just learning information coming at you. Then we have a rotational phase. So we're more doing on the job training. And then really what seals the deal in that is the teaching part. You either graduate and you start having precepting students, or you're just doing that still as a student.
So medicine has picked up the idea that like I have to watch somebody who knows what they're doing do this. I have to learn how to do it myself. And then if I learn how to do it well, I should be able to bring someone else along. What overlaps do you see here with just Christian discipleship?
Yeah. I think the key point back to the medical model is, again, getting at that last part of teaching. So there is something that in the brain, when I'm receiving information, then I'm actually doing that under supervision. But now I go to a level of teaching that. There's actually new neural connections that are actually happening in the brain with neuroplasticity at that time. So as I've really been thinking about that in the realm of discipleship, again, we see that in the Bible. Paul talks about that. So you're follow me as I follow Christ. Now, whatever we've talked about, whether it's teaching the Bible, prayer, whatever, now go do that. But that next level of inviting someone to actually sit under you or teach them, like those truths of the word just really get ingrained even in a deeper way. And we the medical community has latched onto that, right?
What do you see as when we're not thinking this way,
yeah,
where do we miss in terms of disciple making? Like, where are the gaps the church has when we don't sort of think in terms of, especially that last piece, can I train someone to do this or teach someone to do it?
I mean, I think there's this general, we all long to be discipled. Like, we use even the terminology of like be poured into or filled up, you know, but are we always thinking in that missionally wise, and who's the next person that I'm going to pursue to then teach up and ask to follow me as I follow Christ? And so part of it's just like, are we thinking that way even framework wise?
And what do you say in our last episode, Bethany brought up the point, okay, great, but I'm like, I still don't feel like I have things figured out. And so I feel insecure lack of confidence in passing things on to someone. And I'm sure that's true in medicine too, right? It's like, I just learned this myself. How am I supposed to cut this person open and like do surgery or whatever the thing is that's in front of me? What are helpful ways to sort of overcome that and say, no, how do I get to that stage if I'm struggling with insecurity or lack of confidence, or do I really know what I need to know?
We'll take it. I'll parallel my old profession and then discipleship. So as I'm in the clinic, I have a student that I'm precepting. They're asking me quite like I'm teaching them, but they're also asking me like it's not just I'm not just a conduit for information to them. I'm actually teaching them. And so I have to know at a deeper level. And I don't know everything. Like, and that's how I am a better provider, because I don't know everything. And when they're asking me hard questions, I have to get to know that. And so then transfer that to discipleship in the spiritual realm. Again, teacher doesn't mean expert. It means,
that's good.
Man, I'm trusting the Holy Spirit to guide me and lead me. And I think what we miss is like, oh, I have to go teach. Like, I have to go make a disciple. No, like, I get to. And man, I really have to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to show up for this. But if I don't take that step of faith towards that, it's almost an incubator to allow me to experience the Spirit and then to be put in that situation if I'm not taking that step.
That's super helpful. And then even having experienced some medical stuff in our family, it's always fascinating to me how the medical world just stays in its lane, if you will. So like when you say like, I'm a better provider, if I kind of understand my limitations or I'm not an expert, the medical world is so fast to just say, oh, well, you have this issue. We're done here. You need to go see this person. And they don't dismiss you, but they delegate you to the appropriate specialist. And that's super helpful for discipleship, because I think sometimes if we don't understand what we're working with when it comes to discipleship, we'll just flounder around for a while instead of getting the help we need.
Lindsay, as you're talking, I was thinking of with Jesus sending out the 72 and, hey, go do, then come back and talk with me. Mm-hmm. So there's just like this feedback loop too of, hey, I'm going to pour into you. I'm going to teach you. You go out and do. And then they come back and they even talk about, hey, we bumped into this, like we couldn't cast out these demons. Like we saw all this great fruit, but then we also bumped into our limitations and Jesus had to press deeper. Hey, you needed to pray in a different way. This comes, you know, prayer and fasting. And so that whole process took them deeper, saw where they needed to be more dependent, things that they would have never been aware of if they hadn't gone out and done. And so just even that process of having to go do, having to go teach yourself reveals in many ways, like my own, where I'm lacking my own discipleship. And I think to kind of to your point too, Bob, of when we don't push on that, then we stunt discipleship, because I can feel pretty comfortable in my, man, I've taken all this information. I understand things very well, but until I actually go out and do, I'm never going to really see the deeper kind of gaps and immaturities and those things. And so I appreciate that. Hey, if we cut this off too short, we're missing a lot of significant things.
It's interesting. I'm thinking of the Great Commission, right? Teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So the Great Commission is not a know everything that I've commanded you. It's a do it, right? So there's a doing component. And then 2 Timothy 2:2, right? The things you've heard and seen from me in the presence of many witnesses, these entrust to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So that like last component of, can you pass it along to someone? And when we fail to like think in that way, we're actually short-circuiting discipleship, because discipleship is assumes that I've passed it on to people and helped them pass it on to people. And so I do think we can be, if there's a tendency I see, it's this tendency to be consumeristic in discipleship of like, I need someone to disciple me and help me figure out my life, which is true. But then what does it mean for me not to be a cul-de-sac of that, but to say, okay, and then how can I now entrust these things to someone else and teach them the simple doings of the faith, prayer, reading the Bible, sharing the faith, attending worship, right, serving others, the very simple practices of Christian discipleship. Certainly there's always going to be a learning curve, right? I'm never going to know everything I need to know or be adept in every way that I need to be adept spiritually. But is there a basic set of practices that I've inherited and am able to pass on to others?
And in addition to that, as a disciple maker, do I have that vision of sending people out, or am I just trying to attach people to myself and think that I'm the only one that can help this person?
And isn't so much of, I mean, just life, you don't really know how to do it until you do it. And so in some sense, you think of, I don't know how to share my faith. Well, you learn by doing. I don't know how to read my Bible. You learn by doing. I don't know how to pray. And not to say that people can't come along and help, but if we're working in this category of, I somehow have to learn how to do it before I actually do it, go out and do it, or even in some ways go out and teach someone, like just pass on what you know. And in that process, you're going to grow and be able to pass on even more. And so just even applying just some basic common sense to how we live life in other areas to discipleship. I mean, think of marriage. Like, yeah, I think you can be in a place where it's you're going to be more successful in marriage, but you don't really know how to be married till you're married. And I think the same thing with a lot of discipleship. It's just, hey, go and do. And yeah, you're going to mess up and that's okay. That's why you need the Holy Spirit.
I was thinking, we've been talking a lot in discipleship about just what you said, Dusty, not attaching people to ourselves, but attaching them to Jesus. And that when we're discipling, we want to disciple them with the truth of the Bible and God's word and what he would have for them. And so as I have been processing and nerding out on neuroplasticity and neurons, there is, like, the way that God has designed our brain, like, that when we do go into that next phase of teaching, it sticks in our brain more. Man, as the Holy Spirit takes the word of God, and as we step forward to teach it to someone else, it just ingrains so much deeper. And then when we are in discipleship or making disciples, the word of God is what the Holy Spirit is able to pull upon from our brain. I think like renewal of the mind type of stuff, even from Romans.
Lindsay, as you think about, like, so your part of your task is, hey, think about discipleship in a broad cross section of our church. As you think about that, how does this watch one, do one, teach one help you just think about what discipleship looks like and how it should function?
I think even just starting to continue to re-enter the conversation about how much more it is about imitation than just information. Like, we live in such an intellectual, academic society. And so if I tell you the right things, which I think you've alluded to on the previous podcast, but that there really is this tangible, come sit with me as I point you to Jesus. Now go and do that. And as we continue to process disciples, making disciples, and we see that generationally. That just gets me excited about the vision, and I don't have all the details of that, but even just that.
It seems like there's a certain amount of humility required to say, I need to learn from someone. I need to imitate someone or watch someone in their walk with Christ. There's a certain amount of intentionality required to say, I need to do some things. I need to step forward and try some stuff and take initiative. And then there's some courage required to say, I can invite someone to follow me as I follow Christ. So there's like this humility component, this diligence component, and this courage component that sort of all have to come together if this is going to work the way I think Jesus intended for it to work. And so it's interesting to think about how each of those presses us into a different aspect of the gospel, right? Do I have the humility to say, man, I need to learn. I need to be discipled. Who can I imitate? Do I have the diligence to say, what does it mean for me to step forward? Even if I feel a lack of confidence or a lack of certainty, how do I enter in and just start serving and leading? And then do I have the courage to turn to someone else and say, follow me as I follow Christ? And how does the gospel speak to my insecurities, limitations, concerns, pride, fear in each one of those categories, you know, to free me to do those things?
I think there's obviously, the Lord is doing great things, and there's a lot of natural life-on-life discipleship happening, you know, broadly, and then in our local church context. So as we try and change the gear to maybe emphasize that more, how can we even grow in that? What gaps do we have? we don't want to micromanage, but we also maybe need to continue to go back to the earlier podcast. Man, what's my capacity? You know, 1 to 3 people. Man, what's a time frame? Like, let's name some terms here. And so some of those things also may be helpful walking forward.
I'm thinking how helpful this is in even shaping a paradigm for what does it mean if I'm a fairly mature church member, meaning I'm walking with Jesus and I'm committed to a local church. How does this change how I engage gospel community? Because I think it's easy to come to gospel community as a consumer or a passive person. Just say, I'm here, I'm present, and that's good. And I'm just like part of this thing. And so I'm willing to be here and be present for what God wants to do. It's different if I'm saying I'm here to watch and learn with the hope that maybe one day I could like lead a group like this or host a group like this or contribute to this. And then, you know, it just changes the sort of like, how am I entering in with what? Am I entering in passively with just sort of a sense of like, I'm here, or am I entering in actively saying, let me try to learn how to sort of like get people talking about God and the Bible. And even if I feel like, oh, maybe you're more gifted than I am at that, but could I see myself doing that? And can I ask the questions I need to try to gain the confidence and capacity to maybe do that? It seems like sometimes we can have sort of an elitism that says, well, there's certain people who are gifted to do that, but it's probably not me, you know, versus a, gosh, all of us are called to make disciples. That doesn't mean all of us have the same gifting or capacity or whatever, but it does mean that, man, I want to learn everything I can about what does it look like to faithfully make a disciple, and especially in a context like a small group or a gospel community. How could I move in the direction of helping to lead something like that, helping to facilitate that kind of discipleship?
Yeah, it's not as if, you know, I want a bunch of heresy running rampant through my church, but I want people to, however imperfectly, have a heart for that and to say, hey, I might not do this as well as the pastors or well this other person in my GC, but I want to do this and I'm going to do it. And it's like, hey, there's tons of space to grow. This is a process. I mean, I'm growing in this. And so just to have this sense of, hey, it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay. It's you know, other than heresy, you're free, you know, you know, don't spout heresy, but even if you accidentally slip into that, you know, so just, yeah, so having that.
Chris is okay with heresy.
Yeah, you heard it here.
Yeah. You heard it here. You heard it here first. Yeah, he's at a different church.
But I'm with you, Bob. Like, I want a culture at First City where people are willing to step into those things and to learn and to even just have this, I'm okay with imperfection. I'm okay with not doing it as well. The bigger thing is that I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm. The beautiful thing about disciples, making disciples, making disciples, is I can't tell you how many meetings I've walked out of the coffee shop and instantly picked up my phone to call the woman who's discipling me to say, hey, I ran into this with the woman I was meeting with. Can you give me some insight and some, I'm not sure I said what I needed to correctly. Will you help me process that? And so I'm not doing this alone. Mm-hmm. I have community. I have my elders. I have the woman who's discipling me. And so she's, again, pushing me then. You disciple someone too, but I'm here for you.
Yeah, the fascinating thing is you and I first began talking about the medical model a few podcasts ago. We sort of told the stories of how each of us had sort of experienced discipleship. And it's very much, when I was in college, that's very much how it was. It was like, watch me do this. Now you do it. Okay, now you go teach it to somebody else. You know, and it was a very simple way of thinking about following Jesus. But there's a beauty in that simplicity because it wasn't, you know, it in other words, it kept me from being able to say, well, I'm not as good at it as you are, so I don't have to do it. The guys that were discipling me were like, too bad. Do it. You know, you're going to lead this freshman Bible study. And I know you're only a sophomore, but you're not a freshman. So guess what? You're qualified to lead a freshman Bible study. Now, that's the beauty of college ministry, is there's those sort of clean age divisions that sort of make it like, oh, you're a sophomore. You must know everything. And as adults, we sometimes, you know, those nice clean distinctions of like you're an upperclassman don't exist. However, I think it was beautiful for me to sort of be pushed into like, no, I know you don't know everything you could know or need to know, but you know what you do. You know what you need to know in order to go disciple these younger believers. Go for it, you know, and make mistakes and fall forward and let's learn together.
even sometimes now, as I'm stepping into this role, there's people like you, Bob, that all say, hey, I'm going to have this conversation. I've been doing ministry a long time, like your gospel fluent. Would you just role play? Would you imitate how you would have that conversation? And that's been really helpful because it's, hey, there's gospel in it. There's truth in it. How do I walk into this with humility? And so even growing as a learner, as a disciple, as a leader myself, and that's been super helpful.
Interesting how good this is too as a parenting framework, you know, anyone or a kids ministry framework, like anyone who's working with younger people, whether those are younger Christians or just kids, you know, the idea of, hey, watch me do this and now do it. You know, this is like, you know, when you're teaching a kid how to ride a bike, it's like, hey, I'm going to run along beside you for, you know, 6 days. And then on the seventh day, guess what? I'm letting go and you're, you know, you got to figure this out. And so this really is, I think, the process of any learning, not just medical learning, but it, you know, any sort of apprenticeship has this sort of factor to it of, you know, even the people we know that work in the trades, electricity or plumbing or whatever, it's like you're attached to a guy that knows what he's doing or a person who's been doing it for a long time and you're alongside them. And then eventually they're the ones saying, all right, you take this job yourself, you know? And so this apprenticeship, you know, it reminds me of Dallas Willard's language of apprenticeship for discipleship. This really is the framework by which people learn things, whether it's medicine, whether it's plumbing, whether it's art, right? You always learn by apprenticing under someone who is skilled in this and has some credibility in this. And then at some point they sort of push you out of the nest and go, all right, time for you to fly, you know, and you learn to fly.
I think of, as I've been praying, just for discipleship in general and specifically for the women of our church context, Coram Deo, First City, that we would see discipleship is not something that we have to do because we're Christians, but that God, that we get to do, that God draws us. He pulls us into his bigger redemptive story that is happening. And part of that is go and make disciples. And it's for his glory, but it's also for our good. And there's been, it's so life-giving to walk out of a coffee shop after you've just met and hashed over the Lord's word. And not because you knew everything, because the Spirit showed up, you got stretched in ways that you wouldn't have been stretched before. And so would we see it as an opportunity to really partner with the Lord by the means of the Holy Spirit to push forward discipleship?
The goal of this podcast is to equip our own church for discipleship and mission. So if you're a Christian or a church leader in another context, we thank you for listening in and we pray that this conversation might be helpful to you as you minister in your context. We always love to hear from listeners. So if you have thoughts, questions, or future podcast topics, send us an email to podcast@cdomaha.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week for another episode of the Wednesday Conversation.